On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH.
And rolling in hour number two. Looking forward to catching up with Isaac Brown, Shocker basketball coach, in the middle of interesting time in recruiting. We can talk with a coach about a lot of things, from the portal to how his recruiting is done to how it's changed. Just the number.
Don't forget to ask about the portal. I'm glad you brought that up.
I'll be interested to see what he thinks
about the old portal. Yeah.
Well, it's changed the way that guys have to coach now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not coach. I mean, you coach your team, but it's changed the way that you get your team and keep your team.
Like, how long do you think that'll be a contingency plan?
I don't know. That's a great call.
Question. We've got these guys. I got my eye on these guys, and don't forget about the portal. We'll leave a couple. Yeah. You know, we got a possibility of a couple guys as grad transfers or wanting out of wherever they are. So we got the portal contingency plan. Mm-hmm. How weird.
It is really strange, and that's not to say that there isn't a part of me that likes the ability for a player to move when they decide. I think they've got to tighten that up a little bit, because the portal, it's epidemic now,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
yep.
My God, it's changed college basketball. Totally.
Yep.
So anyway,
all right.
I mean, what program isn't dealing with the portal on some level?
Well, none. None.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, okay.
Did you see Teddy Allen is working on his fifth team now?
I did see that. Going into Mexico State.
Yep.
Boy, I don't think surprising to a lot of people that knew of him, had seen him work, had seen him practice, or whatever the case may be. The guy is an incredible offensive talent, and he proved that at Nebraska.
He went off one game. I forget.
Yeah.
40.
God, I know, like 40 or something.
Arena record, I think. 41 at least, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So now he's going to go down, and Chris Jans will get him, and, you know, we'll see. He's much traveled.
Yes.
A much traveled Teddy Allen. So.
All right. Some headline news, if you don't mind. Georgetown men's soccer won its first ever national title in December of 2019. Now 17 months later, they're trying to make it two in a row. The men's and women's D1 soccer tournaments are underway in Cary, North Carolina. 36 men's team and 48 women's teams started. Men are whittled down to the final 16, and the women are down to 8 after the third round wrapped yesterday. The Hoyas, of course, were one of hundreds of college teams whose 2020 got interrupted. But theirs felt particularly frustrating. They were unable to enjoy the standard post-championship victory lap that they achieved in December of 2019. Their head coach said, quote, "Everything was perpetually pushed back, and that takes an emotional toll," unquote. While many schools reopened in the fall, Georgetown didn't. So the reigning champs were forced to stay in shape over Zoom, all while preparing for a season that was never guaranteed to happen. After practices, players would head back to their dorms where they remained mostly isolated. Of course, campus was empty all semester. Classes were all virtual. And then once the season kicked off in February, they basically had to rebuild. Three seniors graduated in December with no concrete start date. They just didn't stick around.
That was it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it wasn't any, you know, light at the end of the tunnel for those three. So they left. Four more got drafted. And three more were called to the pros mid-season, either in England or MLS, something that normally wouldn't happen because the schedule usually runs through the fall. So, little tip of the cap to men's and women's soccer. they're no different than everybody else, got screwed due to COVID. And number 8 seed Georgetown plays Penn State.
Would have never known that if it hadn't been for Sports Daily.
Right. That's right. Headlines will make you smarter. Also,
it does.
If you missed it in the first hour, John Means of Gardner Edgerton High School fame in Kansas threw the first non-perfect no-hitter in MLB history, allowing the only base runner on a missed third strike. He's the first Oriole to throw an individual no-hitter since Jim Palmer, 1969, which snapped the longest active streak among current franchises for individual guys throwing no-hitters. 26 of 27 batters faced, he threw a first-pitch strike, the highest percentage in a complete game in 30 years. The modern era for no-hitters in a season is 7. There have already been 3 this year. And 4 if you want to stretch it a little bit. On the same day, did you see this? On the same day that Means threw the 307th no-hitter in Major League history, Nationals reliever Kyle Finnegan achieved a immaculate inning. Struck out the side on 9 pitches on the same day that Means threw a no-no.
Okay, that's cool.
Very. New Zealand weightlifter Laurel Hubbard is set to become the first transgender Olympian after qualifying for this summer's Tokyo Games. Hubbard, who is 43, has effectively been guaranteed a spot in the women's super heavyweight category after the IOC amended qualifying rules due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Hubbard competed in men's weightlifting until she transitioned in 2012, and she's been eligible to compete as a woman since 2015 when the IOC issued new guidelines. Said guidelines allow transgender athletes to compete as women as long as their testosterone levels are below 10 nanomoles per liter. Also,
okay,
stuff you don't hear anywhere else but Sports Daily, for at least 12 months before their first competition.
10 nanomoles per liter? That sounds like something off of Mork and Mindy to me.
It sounds quite made up, but
yes,
I wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't true. Hubbard's gold medal wins in the 2019 Pacific Games in Samoa triggered some outrage, and Australia's Weightlifting Federation unsuccessfully sought to block her from competing in 2018. And Chelsea, speaking of soccer, Chelsea advanced to the Champions League final, if you're into that. Spoiler, Jad. Because
yeah,
he's watching.
I'm watching the game
he's
right
watching
now.
The
yeah,
match right now. I have the final
thank
score.
You.
if you want to hear it, if you don't want to hear it, leave the room. I know what happens.
Nah,
with,
go ahead.
Chelsea reaches the Champions League final for the first time in 9 years, beating Real Madrid 2-0. On Wednesday. So this is a tape that we're watching here in the studio.
Yep.
Did you see the melee at Madison Square Garden? The Rangers and the Capitals combined for 141
yes,
penalty minutes on Wednesday night, including 72 in the first 4 minutes and 14 seconds.
I saw this.
There were 6 separate fights to start the game, including a line brawl 1 second after the faceoff.
Doesn't happen in the NHL that often anymore.
Well,
so this is kind of weird.
Well, it was the backdrop was that this is the first game since the two teams
since
the Tom Wilson violence and $5,000 fine thing.
Yeah, this is something that I definitely saw. I think a lot of us were kind of expecting them to show up, not to, you know, drop the puck and play hockey, but to immediately drop the gloves. That was kind of expected.
That's exactly what happened. As soon as the puck dropped, 6 dudes dropped their gloves and started wailing on each other.
Yeah, because the NHL has kind of evolved beyond this sort of thing doesn't mean that when the NHL makes a terrible, terrible decision about not handing down a suspension that something like this isn't going to happen again, because it will.
Yeah, $5,000 fine for, in essence, whacking a defenseless player and no suspension, correct?
Yeah, no suspension, a $5,000 fine for punching a defenseless player and injuring him badly enough to knock him out for the rest of the season and the postseason. Yeah, so suspension.
That's why they threw down at the beginning of that ice hockey game at Madison Square Garden last night. So
just a terrible decision on the league's behalf there. Just they missed that one, and the players corrected it.
As often happens in hockey.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
They police themselves quite often. Elsewhere, NASCAR unveiled its next-gen race car yesterday, which features radical mechanical changes. Looks a lot more like a car you might see on the street. The Blue Jays announced yesterday they'll leave Florida and return to Buffalo on June 1st. They had been playing in Dunedin, but they'll play home games at a AAA ballpark that housed them during the pandemic-shortened 2020 season. So back to Buffalo, the Blue Jays go. And Fox has acquired OutKick, the conservative-leaning sports publication founded by Clay Travis. You aware of Clay Travis, Bruce?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, not my favorite.
It's a train wrecky.
Totally.
It's a train wrecky. And I think he's a smart guy, generally. But
Yeah. Smart enough to have a shtick that works. For some elements.
Yeah, and make him some money.
Yes, exactly.
All right, 869-1240. If you want to talk, we got Isaac Brown hopefully coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Those are your headlines from around the world of sports. Again, it is a matinee today for the Royals, day baseball, as Kansas City and Cleveland play at 1:10 here local time. They're both 16-13. So are the White Sox after they lost 1-0 in 10 innings to the Reds. Just a little tidbit about Aaron Rodgers. How's this going to end?
I think it's going to end with him being traded after June 1 when the Packers get about a $17 million break on the salary cap. And I think they're going to trade him, and I think he's going to end up in Denver with the Broncos. That's my prediction.
His former fullback
teammate, makes the most sense.
John Kuhn, on an appearance here, not here, but on our airwaves yesterday, said he wouldn't get into the exact details of their conversation, but basically said the Rodgers hadn't made up his mind yet for certain.
Right.
Even though, sure, you know, it's coming down that he's told certain people that he's not going to play there anymore, and he's kind of poked fun at the GM, calling him Jerry Krause, and everything in between. So, and I think it's not just Jordan Love got picked in the first round 2 years ago. I think this is cumulative effect, much like Angel Hernandez.
Lack of extension, you know, yes. lack of an extension. He wasn't even the Jordan Love pick came literally out of left field. He didn't have any is it written down somewhere that you should confer with your starting quarterback about who you're drafting? On that much, I don't really see a problem. They might have given him a heads up that it was coming because you knew that he would be asked about it immediately and extensively, and he was. So that became a distraction.
Are you pretty short-sighted if you're in the front office and you don't think you're going to get asked about
it? Yes. Come on. And, I mean, you got to know that.
He's been there 15 years, and he won an MVP, and he won a Super Bowl. That's not his God-given right to sit in on the draft meetings. But
No.
I wouldn't.
I think I'd run it by him.
I think I'd let him know. Right.
I think I would.
We're thinking about taking a left tackle in the first round. What do you think?
Yeah. Right.
And not only did they take a quarterback, but they traded up and then did it. Which,
well, I mean, and the prevailing wisdom, and you got to take this with a grain of salt because the Packers are one of the haves in the NFC.
Yeah.
But the prevailing wisdom was that they needed receiving help, and they needed, you know, that part of the grind was that Rodgers felt like that they weren't adding pieces to their offense
and he'd
to
be right.
productive, man, right? But then he ends up throwing, what, 49 touchdown passes or whatever it was last year?
Pretty much, like in five interceptions.
Was it 49 or 50, something like that?
It was in the 40s, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So, and I think he threw, what was that? Was it one touchdown pass to a first-round draft pick? Like in the last, something like that in the last 2 years? I don't know, something.
Well, there was a long string of non-offensive first-round draft picks, too.
Mm-hmm.
This
year.
That was only snapped by Jordan Love.
Right.
No, the rest of them were offensive.
Yeah, they went right back defense again this year.
Yep. He threw 48 touchdowns and five interceptions this year.
Okay, so there you go, 48 and 5. That makes MVP.
So. He led the league in completion percentage, touchdowns, touchdown percentage, interception percentage, average yards per attempt, rating, and QBR.
Other than that, he didn't have a –
somehow the Packers managed to piss him off. Well, further piss him off, I guess. Like I said, it was a cumulative effect. They further have made him mad at age 37.
And look, and I get the perspective of the diva.
I do too.
And I understand that. But why in the world, if you're the Packers, would you let it get to this point? Why? Why have you let it get to the point where Aaron Rodgers is being snippy and, you know, and I guess you
sensitive.
Could probably call it childish,
yep.
you know, even
yep.
on some level. I mean, but why do you even, because you're complicit in it. I mean, you didn't have to let it get to this point. You clearly haven't communicated with him in the right way. And I mean, it's just bad. To me, that's bad business.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, sometimes you got to bow down to the diva that's buttering your bread, and he's it.
Well, of course.
If there's ever a time to just throw up your hands and say, "Okay, Aaron," it would be for him. And well, no matter what he's doing behind the scenes, he's never torched the organization publicly, has he? I mean, there's some
thinly
veiled stuff here and there about not going for it against the Buccaneers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, he's been a model citizen, at least to us, to the fans, to the media,
mm-hmm.
about what it's like to be a Packer. I mean, yeah, maybe he's MFing them, you know, to their face and in meetings and calls or whatever. But nothing's going to get out that you won't let get out. And you're right. You somehow managed to let it get to this boiling point.
Right.
So, yeah, to where now we got a staring contest with the MVP.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers, and it's compounded by the fact that the Packers are still a Super Bowl contender. You've got a guy coming off an MVP season. Now, granted, he's 37 years old. But, you know, you were a stutter step away from getting there a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
All right. When we come back, Wichita State head coach Isaac Brown will join us. They got the national letter of intent, apparently, from Sunrise Christian Academy's Kenny Poto, a 6'11 Sweden-born player. We'll talk to him about that. About Sunrise, about coaching in the pandemic, his first full year as a head coach. He's got some camps coming up that we'll tell you about. So the very latest from IB, Isaac Brown, when we come back.
Sports Daily with Bruce and Shane on KFH. Dial the studio at 869-1240.